Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The lockdowns are killing people across this country. And it's not necessarily because of COVID, it's the restrictions, which we now see a dramatic increase in depression and even suicide among our young people. We're going to be talking about one of these situations in Illinois, where we represent two churches that have already gone to the U.S. Supreme Court and we're continuing to litigate these cases. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Today on Faith and Freedom, joining me to talk about this is Holly Mead.
You know, Matt, this is a tragic situation with this young boy. He was 18, high school senior, 4.7 GPA, athlete, and then he took his life. And his father said, "There's no doubt in my mind that the school closures and the governor's shutdown orders were resulting in the isolation that pushed his son into mental health to the point of no return." That's tragic.
It's very tragic. In fact, as you said, he's 4.7 GPA, which means he took a lot of honors courses. He was a high school quarterback. His room is full of trophies. Sometimes his mom goes into his bedroom and sleeps on his bed or lies down on his bed. There's a picture of this room and the little dog missing. This 18-year-old, Dylan Buckner, is curled up, lying on the bed where Dylan would otherwise be laying. This individual had a coveted offer from MIT, so he's very smart. He had scholarships to go play football as a quarterback in high school. Obviously, he did well. So you would think that he has the whole world in front of him. He has the tiger by the tail, if you will. But what he did was he checked into a nondescript hotel room and he ended his own life. The isolation and fear had become too much.
You know, these power-hungry, control-hungry governors have blood on their hands because they use this virus as a means to shut down. And you think they'd want their states and their cities to thrive, but they've used it to control them. But these children are paying the ultimate price because, you know, they go to school to see their friends. Yeah, they do learn some subjects on the side, but they go to school to see their friends, to participate in athletics, in sports, and clubs, and things like that, social things that they are created to do. And that was just totally shut off for them.
Well, this young boy at age 18 ended his life, and obviously he was an incredible individual. To get a 4.7 GPA, he had to take hard courses and honors courses to go above and beyond. You don't just get a 4.7 GPA. You only get that by taking certain honors courses. And he's a high school quarterback. And he gets high school recognition by getting scholarships from colleges to play football.
And obviously he was thriving.
Yeah, and he gets an offer from MIT. So this guy now all of a sudden gets shut down.
He's isolated and put in front of a computer for every day.
Yep, and you watch the media and it's going to try to scare you to death.
Right.
So they can continue to push more fear on you and continue to tell you that you can't go out and so forth and so on. So here, I mean, this father, it's very sad. He says, "I just miss everything. Getting to hug him and talk to him was the best part of my life." He breaks into tears in this interview, and he spoke of the future that he will never see. Getting to watch him grow up and graduate from high school, getting married and having our grandkids, it's all gone, and it's not coming back. Holly, this is a tragedy, and it's not anecdotal, meaning that this is not an isolated incident where we're just taking this very tragic story and painting a broad brush picture. We know, for example, in Maine, where we also represent a church, Calvary Assembly of Bangor in Maine, that in 2020, they have epidemic numbers that they've never had before in their history of deaths from drug overdoses. So the highest death-causing drug is fentanyl. And so what we've seen happen in Maine, which has the worst church restrictions in the country still, that the young people are taking drugs and they're overdosing and they're dying. This is happening all over. If you look at all these different places around the country where they had the worst restrictions, these young people literally have become decimated by these restrictions. In fact, if you go all the way back to the very first lockdown in the various parts of the country in 2020, some of these situations happened on a Friday. So these young people on Friday, with no notice at all in March, they go home, they have their books, they have some of their other material in their lockers. They go home, and on Saturday, they get word from the school and from the news articles that the school is on lockdown and everything will begin virtual. Some of those young people were seniors, and they never got a chance to say goodbye and have the final greeting with their friends. They didn't get a chance to go to the prom. They didn't get a chance to graduate. By the time school is over, some of these friends moved away, and they never saw them again, and they never knew on Friday that they would not ever see them again the following Monday. And schools then were shut down across the country, beginning in March, in most places across the country, and these young people then had to struggle all the way from kindergarten through first grade through high school, college. They had to struggle with this technology platform that wasn't in existence, wasn't used by these schools, wasn't functional. Parents had to struggle with that. And then they got all of the negative on the news. The CNN and the MSNBC pumped out all this lying material, and Fauci continued to pump out lies saying, well, it's only 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Well, maybe another 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We'll all be over this. Just stick together. No, now we have to have it all the way through Easter. No way we can open up churches by Easter. And it goes on and on and on. And then that continues on through the summer. And then when you go through the fall, in many places, it's still continuing, friends. Some states are open, like Florida. And, you know, Governor Ron DeSantis took a lot of heat. He said the young people need to be in school. The young people, of all groups of people, have a 99.9% survival rate if they get COVID. They're not at risk. They're not an at-risk group. And so Governor DeSantis said, open the schools. The educators said, oh, we're going to just have all kinds of COVID. You know what? That didn't happen in Florida. What they've done to try to suppress the church is the worst thing they could have done.
Yeah, and you think about that, you know, regarding the young people too, and we're seeing the depression and the suicide and the abuse increase because the churches, these power-hungry governors have had their thumbs down on the churches. So these kids that are involved in youth groups and get their spiritual food and hope from the church are no longer.
That's right. Yeah. A lot of churches were just closed down. Some of them, you know, like Andy Stanley's church is apparently still closed down, still doing virtual, which is ridiculous.
That's been over a year.
It's been over a year. And in some places, you know, like in Maine, meeting with their congregation is still illegal. And that's why we're continuing to push back in Maine and other places around the country. But what we have seen are studies that have come out that suicide and depression, anxiety, and even suicide of all different categories of people, but particularly the youth, has skyrocketed. Like I said, Maine broke records in 2020 of the most overdoses during that particular year.
And you know, Matt, this is a test. This is a test for us as the church. Are we going to allow this? Are we going to think that the government gives us our freedom, our right to worship? Or are we going to realize that comes from God, and we're going to stand for that?
Absolutely. And you know, one of the surveys that's done on churches and mental health of those people who attend church every year now came out with reports that the only group of peoples who did not have a decline in mental health. In fact, they had the opposite. They had an increase, a betterment in mental health, are people who regularly attend churches.
Because you're continuing to get hope. You're turning off the TV and that bunch of noise, and you're getting hope in your church from your fellowship with your other believers.
Yeah, this is, you know, this is why our defense of churches and pastors is so critically important. You know, Jesus said, render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and to God what belongs to God. The church has never, never, never belonged to the state, never belonged to Caesar. It is the church of Jesus Christ, and the government has never had the authority to restrict these churches as they did. And we've now ultimately been vindicated at the U.S. Supreme Court, but our battle continues. On this National Day of Prayer, pray for Liberty Counsel, our legal team, pray for victories, pray for our pastors and churches, pray for revival in America. Visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. Call us at 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.